Hello and welcome. Today we're talking about the future of phone addiction treatment and why the most powerful shift ahead isn't doing more to you, but building systems that help you help yourself. First, a truth most of us feel. How many hours were you on your phone rarely tells the real story. Some people spend 5 hours and feel energized. Others spend 30 minutes doom-scrolling and feel wrecked. Time isn't the disease, it's a symptom. The real question is, what does that time cost you? Focus at work? Presence with a partner? Quality sleep? If your phone use steals from what you care about, that's the signal. Second, the best predictor of success isn't how bad things look, it's how well you understand them. When people can name their triggers and the job the phone is doing, outcomes jump. Think nearly 3/4 better, not because they're stronger, but because they're clearer. Awareness turns guesswork into a plan. Here's the big shift. We've treated phone addiction like a yes or no diagnosis. It's a spectrum, from intentional healthy use to compulsive habits that get in the way. When we stop asking, how do I use my phone less, and start asking, how do I use it more intentionally, everything changes. Your phone stops being a monster to defeat and becomes a tool to manage. So what's next? Less clipboards, more real-world patterns. We're moving from one-time assessments to predictive modeling, systems that watch how your habits change and spot trouble early. Imagine your phone noticing you're ignoring important messages, bouncing between apps, and responding lightning fast late at night. That combo matters not because of minutes, but because it hints at stress, avoidance, or loneliness. It's like a weather report for your digital life. You grab an umbrella before the storm hits. A key idea here is variability. People who recover faster aren't the ones who never use their phones. They're the ones whose usage flexes with context. Present at dinner, catch up on the train, shut down social apps when a deadline looms, not perfect discipline, smart situation-based control. When your use fits the moment, your life feels bigger than your screen. How do we build that? By measuring the right moments. We're moving toward naturalistic data, real life right now. Instead of, how was your phone use last week, try, what were you feeling right before you reached for it? Those tiny check-ins spark big insights. People often discover 2 out of 3 problem scrolls are about managing emotions. Stress after a tense meeting, loneliness at night, anxiety before a hard task. See the pattern, and you can design a better response. Yes, the phone can help. Some tools combine passive signals, what apps you're in, when you switch, how fast you react to notifications, with your active reflections, privacy-conscious mirrors that show what you might miss. The magic is when they meet. Your data says, you've been bouncing around for 20 minutes, and your mind asks, right, what feeling am I avoiding? It's like turning on the lights in a messy room. From there, treatment becomes coaching in real time. Static app limits, the iron gates, are giving way to adaptive boundaries that flex with your day. Picture this. Under a deadline, your phone nudges social media behind friction. After work or with a friend, it relaxes. Stressful week? Limits tighten gently. Downtime? They loosen. It's a smart thermostat for your attention. Interventions are getting smarter too, because they're function-based. Instead of no phone, we ask, what job is the phone doing right now? If you reach for it to calm nerves, the plan offers quick body-based resets. 2 minutes of box breathing, a grounding exercise, a short walk. If you reach for it to avoid a task, the plan uses micro-commitments. Work 5 minutes, then a 1-minute stretch, plus a bit of friction on your favorite distractor apps. If you use your phone to connect, we schedule it. 15 minutes to deepen one real conversation, then back to what matters. The goal isn't abstinence, it's alignment. Screen time that serves your values. A concrete moment. It's 9:30 p.m. You flop on the couch and slip into videos. A tiny prompt pops up. What just happened? You remember a hard conversation with your manager. The app offers 2-minute reset or talk it out. You choose reset, breathe, your shoulders drop, and you realize you don't want to scroll. You want to text a friend and get to bed on time. That's a win, not because you used your phone less, but because you used it more intentionally. Now the early warning system. Your phone quietly picks up that your late-night typing is jittery, you're app-hopping, and you've stopped replying to people who matter. Instead of wagging a finger, it suggests a plan for tomorrow. A focused morning block, a walk at lunch, and a gentle lock on the noisiest apps after 10 p.m. Not punishment. Care that meets you before you slide. Will this help if you're not that bad? Absolutely. Think of it like physical therapy for your attention. You don't need a catastrophic injury to benefit. The earlier you understand your patterns, the easier it is to steer them. And for those struggling more intensely, these systems don't replace therapy. They supercharge it. When you and a clinician see the same patterns, you spend less time guessing and more time practicing what helps. A quick word on numbers without overwhelm. Identifying triggers and the job your phone is doing can boost outcomes by nearly 3/4 compared to going in blind. In-the-moment check-ins can more than triple self-awareness versus end-of-week recall. Not because you're weak or should know better, but because memory is fuzzy and life is busy. The right prompt at the right moment is like a friend tapping your shoulder. Hey, are you okay? If this sounds high-tech, the heart of it is human. We're shifting from control to compassion. Your phone often stands in for something you need. Comfort, stimulation, connection, a break. We're designing plans to meet those needs more directly so the phone can go back to being a tool, not a trap. Where to start today? Try a reframe. Instead of "I have to use my phone less," say "I want to use it more intentionally." That language boosts agency. Run a 3-day experiment. 3 times a day, ask, "What was I doing or feeling right before I picked up my phone? What did I hope it would give me? Did it help?" You're building your pattern profile. Create 1 adaptive boundary. Pick a context: family dinner, a workout, bedtime, and make your phone less available there. Move it to another room, silence 1 category of notifications, or set a focus mode. Then let yourself fully use it at a time that fits your goals, not perfection. Swap 1 function. If you use your phone to soothe stress, preload a 2-minute reset. If you use it to avoid tasks, set a 5-minute timer and make the first step laughably small. If you use it to connect, pick 1 person daily to reach out to deliberately, then log off. If you're working with a coach or clinician, bring real-life data. Ask about combining passive signals you're comfortable sharing with short in-the-moment reflections. The point isn't surveillance, it's clarity and consent. The bigger picture is hopeful. We're moving toward care that lives with you, nudging, supporting, and learning alongside you. Imagine your phone as a training partner that grows with you, attentive during stress, quiet when you're focused, encouraging when you build new habits. That's not science fiction, it's already underway. If you want more on the science, how patterns are recognized, why certain therapies sit at the core, what early results look like, the written guide has the details. But you don't need perfect knowledge to change. Start with a simple question the next time your hand reaches for the screen. What am I feeling, and what do I actually need? Because the future of phone addiction treatment isn't about prying the device from your hand. It's about putting your hands back on the wheel, turning the phone from a reflex into a choice, and your day from reactive to intentional. When your use fits your life, not the other way around, you don't just feel more in control. You feel more like yourself. Thanks for being here. Keep your curiosity close, your boundaries kind, and your values front and center. We'll keep exploring this together, 1 intentional tap at a time.